When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. I enjoyed that first hour. Lowe's Tim Hinchliffe is a really, really a fabulous guy. Basil Valentine, he always makes me laugh. He's really good at doing what he does, which is investigating the news. I love him very much. So I've been on TNT for a month now, and it has been wild. We've talked to some amazing commentators, characters, and most importantly, real people, which I've really enjoyed. Many of these real people have stories which must be heard, and most of them are not welcome on any mainstream platform because their truths don't fit the prevailing agendas which the mainstream media are paid to push. And the MSM news is heavily paid to push narratives. Let me explain. I'll give you some examples, because if you're British and you pay for your TV license, you should feel very passionate about having a free and unbiased press, because of course you pay for it. You pay for this stuff, but that's not the way it works. If you go to one of these big major search engines like Google and type in BBC News and funding, you'll discover that the British Broadcasting Corporation are taking their money from some very serious and nefarious outfits. £1.8 million of funding comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. £1.14 million comes from the European Commission. The BBC receive £722,000 from the UN Development Programme. They receive over £2.8 million from the Swedish International Development Cooperation Agency. They take £1.13 million from the Norwegian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Really important those Norwegians have a say in British politics and British issues, isn't it? And another £1.76 million from another Norwegian agency, the Norwegian Agency for Development Cooperation. They even get £1.85 million from Global Affairs Canada and more millions from other sources. Should also be noted that the BBC News has removed recently the funding they've received from NORAD and USAID, both of which have extremely significant intelligence links, of course. You don't really want to see that down as the funding for your news organization, because a load of these who are funding the British Broadcasting Corporation are not British at all and have agendas that are linked in with policy institutes around the world and, again, Big Pharma. And that wasn't a big surprise for anybody who saw what happened during the pandemic. But the point is, the BBC News is clearly being paid by a range of donors who then make demands. I'm sure that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation would have used their funding to make sure that the BBC didn't report in an unbiased manner throughout COVID. And that should be enough for people all around the UK to turn off the BBC, but alas, it's not the case. It's worse in countries like Australia and America, in the sense that the funding and connections are more implicit and in your face. We all know who funds CNN because they say it over and over again. Pfizer, 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 Pfizer. One day, when our descendants live in a slightly fairer society, then our current world order, they will not understand why we just let it happen. We have let it happen. They will better comprehend how important the media is as a force for good. But most importantly, the potential for it to be used as a tool for nefarious, evil people. People were murdered during COVID. Most of it could have been prevented by having a truly free mainstream media press corps. Innocent people are being systematically murdered in Ukraine and Palestine. Wars which could have been avoided by a truly free mainstream media press corps. Our entire society has been co-opted by intelligence-linked gangsters disguised as politicians, all of which could have been prevented by a truly free mainstream media press corps. The mainstream media is a hypnotic narrative-setting machine. They are detached from what it means to be human, and they are detached from any sense of being held to account for selling out their respective countries to a murderous establishment. The MSM are a tentacle of the intelligence infrastructure. They are murdering your children. Quickly or slowly, they are murdering your children. Now, just before we continue, how do you fancy a bank holiday weekend at a musical festival for Truth and Freedom Tribe? With 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, Bouncy Castle, and Hope Sussex for the children, please. Loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who is aware of the truth in the world. Stand in the Park and the Light Paper presents Stand in the Light, a truth music festival in beautiful Lake District on May 24th to the 27th. I really do want to go to this. You get 4 days camping and full access to the whole festival for £60 plus booking fee. Children under five come free. Awesome. There is no better bargain anywhere. Visit our website now to make sure you don't miss what's going on. It's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole Freedom family. StandInTheLight.uk. And if you've missed any of your favorite TNT shows or an interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on TNT website. We are also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now, there is no reason to miss out on anything on TNT.
Be a part of the conversation.
I want representation I can trust.
Have your say.
Biden isn't doing enough.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Speak of the devil and the devil appears. On Friday, the Biden administration designated two forever chemicals as hazardous substances, hoping that new classification will make it easier to hold the companies that dumped the pervasive pollutants responsible for the cleanup costs. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark. Come on, tell us more about this, Ruckus.
Absolutely, Johnny. What we're speaking of course, are these forever chemicals. They're PFOA and PFOS is how you will see them reported. It's short for something. We'll get to that in a second. These chemicals have voluntarily been phased out by U.S. manufacturers, but are still in limited use. Why are they called forever chemicals? Well, because they tend to persist in the environment. They don't go away. They don't break down. They're forever. The compounds are part of a large cluster of forever chemicals known as PFAs. So these two specific ones, PFOA and PFOS, is what the EPA has decided to designate as hazardous substances. The cluster of chemicals that they are part of are called PFAs. They've been used since the 1940s in industry and consumer products, including your non-stick frying pans, water-repellent sports gear, stain-resistant rugs, and cosmetics, among many, many other things. Firefighting foam, I think, as well. The term PFAs is short for perfluoroalkyl substances and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAs. They can accumulate and persist in the human body for long periods. Evidence from animal and human studies indicates that the exposure to PFOA and PFOS may lead to cancer or other health problems, including liver and heart damage and developmental problems in infants and children. It's a serious problem. And it's one that apparently the government doesn't want to deal with anymore, in my opinion. That is why they are now calling them hazardous substances, therefore trying to push the, put the companies on the hook for the cleanup costs, basically. Because, as described here, this is courtesy of The Hill right here, the new hazardous substance designation gives the agency, this is the Environmental Protection Agency, of course, the EPA, greater authority to investigate and clean up sites that have been polluted with these chemicals under the nation's Superfund law. It also makes it easier for the agency to compel the companies that dumped them to pay for those actions. The EPA also said that it was issuing a separate policy stating that it would focus these efforts on big polluters, like companies that made or used PFAS in manufacturing or certain federal facilities. The agency said that its move would enable, quote, earlier, broader, and more effective cleanups of contaminated sites, end quote, because it would give the EPA access to a broader suite of tools to address the problem and allow for additional chemicals at those sites to also be addressed. And real quickly, ultimately, the EPA said that the reduced exposure to PFOA and PFOS would result in fewer cases of illnesses associated with them, including the aforementioned cancers, including kidney cancer and thyroid disorders. And they all say this is thanks to President Biden because he's in charge right now. But it was really the EPA that did this. But what say you, Johnny?
Yeah, I got a bit of a dog in this fight, to be honest, because I still don't know why I ended up developing Graves' disease, ended up having to have radioactive treatment, I had to have my thyroids removed. And I get a feeling it's from things that, you know, were in the environment or things we used that have these sort of chemicals in before. We're all being poisoned to an extent, sometimes by just our own naivety, sometimes by stupidity, sometimes by laziness, sometimes because we can't afford the things that don't poison us and we're only offered the things that do poison us, and sometimes, very often, by our own government. So for Biden to try and take some sort of like something from this and act like he and the Biden administration to act like they've done something about this, well, likelihood is they're doing the same as every other administration, this spraying and polluting the environment in ways that kill humans. I'm also very interested, you know, that idea that these forever chemicals will stay in the blood system for a long time and cause that sort of damage. If they're willing to accept that when it comes down to these forever chemicals, then are they willing to accept that for what we were talking about at the beginning of the week with Mark Girardot, who was talking about the bolus theory and the fact that when they inject things intravenously into your body, that it's not an exact science, and those chemicals build up inside your body and are hard to flush out and hard to get rid of. So that idea that we need to start understanding that things get stuck in our body for a long period and chemicals get in our body and won't go away, we've got to look at that across a whole range of the things that we allow them to put in our body. And sometimes that means food, because of course if I suppose you could say if you're not growing your own food and it's not from all organic sources, you don't know what is going inside your body. But in the same way, they're still going to be spraying stuff and they're still going to be doing all of their experiments. Is this just in America? Do you know if these chemicals are widespread elsewhere? I suppose they would be, wouldn't they?
Oh, they've been discovered all over the entire planet, inside every single living thing, from what I understand. These things have been in the news quite a bit. In my career here at TNT alone, I've reported many stories about these chemicals. They are nasty things. And it's just, it seems to me like another instance where everybody just wants to keep kicking the can down the road and not get to any actual real solutions here. I don't know what a cleanup process entails, but like, that used to be taxpayer dollars. I'm happy to have my taxpayer dollars invested into something that's going to help, you know, make people healthy. You know, I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? But now they're just trying to pass the buck onto the company so they can preserve the precious tax dollars that they've stolen from us and use it for war instead, to kill and harm other people, when we could be using this money to fix problems at home, Johnny, is my point. But anyways, but yeah, I think we need to hold the companies responsible for sure. We need to get these things cleaned up. We need to take a harder look at the lasting health effects and see if we can't reverse some of the damage without introducing more damages with more dangerous chemicals, you know, pretending to be therapeutics. I'll just say it, big pharma.
Yeah, the detoxification of the human body is something that is quite difficult to do in actual fact. I mean, that's another thing Mark Girardot was saying. It was like his oxygen treatment seems to be one of the best ways to remove these sort of things out of your body. But of course, these sort of roots to sorting out these problems are not given to everybody, and a lot of people, especially in places like America, cannot afford it and are not covered in their health insurance. Well, there we go. I thought you said you were going to bring us some happier news in the second hour. You lied to me. You lied to me, Ruckus.
I made no promises, Johnny, but either way, it is what it is. But you have a nice weekend, everybody.
Yeah, you have a nice weekend too, Ruckus. Thank you for everything you do. We're off for another quick break, and then we'll be back with my guest today on the Johnny Vedmore Show. You're listening to Today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
Listen up!
Now listen, we gotta talk.
It's what we do best.
This is Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Johnny Vedmore Show on Today's News Talk, TNT. Now, for the last part of this week's show, we are going to continue making sure that you hear the voices which have been increasingly suppressed by the mainstream media. I've spoken to some extremely courageous people in the past week, like the enigmatic Lindsay House, who's just wonderful, a registered nurse who was injured by the vaccine, and Luca Hein, who was persuaded by an out-of-control and ignorant medical establishment that she had been born in the wrong body and everything could be better for her if she allowed them to practice their twisted science upon her. Today's story is maybe the saddest I've heard, because Trista Martin's extremely bright flame was extinguished by the vaccine. And I'm sorry if during this at all, I do well up a little bit. Alan and Taylor Martin are the parents of Trista Martin, who tragically passed away on November the 9th, 2022. Trista was an 18-year-old girl with a clean bill of health, and her sudden death left her parents in shock, disbelief, even more so after eventually learning the probable cause of her untimely demise, namely and specifically Pfizer's mRNA injection batch FN2908, which was administered to Trista without her parents' knowledge. Alan and Taylor Martin are on a mission to share their story as a warning to others, as they continue to seek answers and justice for their daughter. You can follow them on X, Twitter, at Alan D. Martin and at The Martins. And please visit their website, Justice for Trista. Trista is spelled T-R-I-S-T-A. So justicefortrista.com. Alan and Taylor, welcome to the Johnny Vedmore Show. I'm really happy to have you on.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
No, anytime. Right. Can you start off by telling us who Trista was as a person?
Trista was a very spunky girl. She loved life, loved all of her friends and siblings. She loved children. She wanted to be a child psychologist, and a social worker. She wanted to adopt a teenager because they're so often overlooked, and she wanted to give them love to. She wanted to foster children. She was just loved everyone, loved life.
She was funny, both intentionally and not. She had the worst fight or flight. We do jump scares here at our house, just because it's funny. And every time she would just fall to the floor in the fetal position. And we told her all the time, you know, you're going to be the first to die in a zombie apocalypse, you know. And one of the stories that we really like to tell is about, I'm 47 now. Before she passed, I was 45. And we get junk mail. I got junk mail so much from organizations that help the elderly, like AARP, Senior Living, Beltone, a lot of stuff that I don't feel like I'm old enough to be really getting in the mail. And I would just get inundated with all of this junk mail from the Postal Service. And when I would open it up, she would, you know, I would complain and she would walk by and she'd be like, well, Dad, you're getting kind of old. You probably need to hold on to some of that stuff. And after she passed, her sister, her stepsister told us that she had actually gone online and signed me up for all that stuff. And as a joke,
anything she could find, she put his name and address in there. And so it still comes today, which it's a nice little
reminder
now that
she girl after my own heart by the sounds of it. I spent years working in a record shop where we all did jump scares constantly to each other. And, you either love it or you hate it. Right. I was always someone who really enjoyed it. So before the pandemic hit, you mentioned that she had lots of plans. What were her plans for the future? What were her future looking like?
She had just graduated from high school, actually, and she was getting ready to start college. And she was wanting to major in psychology and do child psychology. She wanted to travel all over the place. She just wanted to see everything she could and take in everything that life had, you know, to give. She was a really hard worker. She was working at her job, her only job she'd ever had. She'd been there for about a year and a half, and she had been made management. She was doing really well, really well. And she just wanted to see everything and, you know, experience everything.
And she wanted to spoil her little brother.
Yeah.
She
was really great at that.
Yeah, he's 15 now, but at the time, of course, he was 13, 14. But she bought him, you know, obviously she didn't have any bills. She'd worked at the same job for a year and a half. We didn't charge her rent. You know, she still lived at home. So she would just spend a lot of her money on him. And so, you know, the latest, she bought him a brand new iPhone. She would buy him the latest Nikes and sneakers.
Give him money to go down and get snacks at the corner, you know, store. And
they were very close.
She would play video games with him while her friends were in her room getting ready for them to like have girls' night or whatever. She was a really great sister. Really great sister.
Glad to hear that. I had two older sisters and neither of my sisters were that nice to me. So I would have liked that. So like many families, especially during COVID, you originally sat down together and talked about what you'd do. What was the original plan as you found out what was happening with the pandemic?
We had talked about it as a family, and we thought, just because of the lack of long-term safety data, and that the fact that it was, that COVID seemed to only affect, severely, people with comorbidities or pre-existing conditions or the elderly, that, that it really just wasn't something that we were going to consider, that we maybe after, its safety was confirmed, independently over a long period of time. But other than that, we just decided that it wasn't for us. So as a family, we decided that we weren't going to get the vaccine. So that's where we thought we were all on the same page.
Yeah, it was hard times. I know that it was, we had a couple of days ago, we had a conversation where, I was explaining, I went into a shop and had this sort of discussion with a lady who didn't want to have the conversation. She didn't want to have a conversation. She had promised with her family that she wasn't going to tell anybody else what they had decided, and that they had decided as a family unit. And I think lots of people went that route. Listen, we're going to take a short news break, but you're listening to today's news talk on TNT.
TNT Radio News.
Get the news. The news.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. French President Emmanuel Macron has stated that it is not feasible for the West to provide Ukraine with an air defense system comparable to Israel's Iron Dome due to the lack of time and resources. The chief scientist of the World Health Organization, Jeremy Farrar, expressed concerns about the potential for avian influenza, or H5N1, to infect more humans after recent infections in cows and goats in the United States.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show. So Trista was excited about her future, college, traveling. How did the anxiety driven by COVID affect her to change her mind about that family decision that you made then, do you think?
Well, she was kind of she was a caretaker type person. And I know that like the media ads saying, do it for grandma and grandpa, kind of got to her. She had mentioned stuff about that and whether that was something that she needed to do. And, we tried to reassure her that's not it. And she went to a concert and they made her wear a mask the whole time because she wasn't vaccinated. She didn't have a card. And I think that really made her feel kind of like an outsider. And
besides, I mean, when you're 16, or 17 or 18, even, your parents, what do they know? I mean, your parents are about the dumbest people on the planet,
Yeah.
So when you're 5 or 6, they're superheroes. And then when you're a teenager, they're dumb. And then it's not until about 25 or 30 that you realize that they're actually pretty smart.
And they're just looking out for you.
Yeah. So, I think she just looked at it like, what do they know? The CDC says it's safe and effective.
It's like my parents are the only ones saying, do this.
And everything's censored. There's no real information out there. Even today, you've got to look for it to find it. So, you can't. She was inundated with safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. And that's all she knew other than what she was hearing at home. And really, sadly, she wasn't even hearing that enough at home.
So we thought we were on the same page.
Yeah, we just really talked about it maybe once or twice.
Keep going on about it.
And so. We didn't. I didn't continuously press. And I really wish that I would have.
Well, how did you guys feel? Did you guys feel that pressure in the same way? Did you feel? I know that you obviously made the decision to stick it out, but did you feel that constant pressure was, having a toll on you at all in your decision?
I didn't really. We were, thankfully, we live in a smaller town, and our mayor and everybody, you know, we didn't really have the lockdowns and we didn't have to wear mask places. It was kind of a, you know, you make your own decisions around here. So we didn't really feel that quite as much, but you know, we didn't really have the peer pressure like a teenager does.
I work for a small business where my boss kind of feels the same way we do. So that wasn't a requirement at my job.
We really didn't have a whole lot of pressure
around us to make us, you know, think, even consider it.
Yeah, it's much different when you're a kid though, isn't it? It's much different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And that effect that and to be targeting the kids in that way was just, it just did not make any sense at all at the time.
Either. Not at all.
It made me completely angry. Right. What you were saying there, I mean, you were in a town where you're pretty, you know, everybody seems pretty chilled about it all. You're based mm-hmm. in Oklahoma. Did you feel that was that state was a safe place to set out COVID?
Well, our town specifically, I mean, we're in Broken Arrow, which is just like a smaller town. I know the larger town next to us, Tulsa, they were a little more on the wearing the mask and stuff like that. But so we were kind of in our own little bubble here, I guess.
Yeah, there was times where we thought, you know, when we're not going to go into Tulsa, because, you know, it's a small, Broken Arrow is a small suburb. So there are a few things where you have to kind of go into town, so to speak, to, you know, but we just kind of limited that and didn't really go out and do those kinds of things. We tried to stay here local and we actually, we had COVID. We actually got over, we both were, all the whole family was infected with it. And, well, I tested positive, with an at home test, and so did Trista. And this was, early in 2021. And so, you know, the whole house got sick, even though she tested negative and my son tested negative. So half the family tested positive, half the family tested negative, but we were all sick.
And Trista literally just had a cough.
Yeah, Trista's was a cough. She actually was more bothered by... we made her stay home. And that she got cabin fever really bad. Yeah. That was the worst part of having COVID for her. And like I said, it was a year and a half before she even got the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So she already had natural immunity. She was, you know, 18 years old and perfectly healthy. So there was literally, she had a 0% chance. Statistically speaking, a 0% chance of having severe COVID.
Do you think that if they taught about natural immunity honestly in schools and colleges from a young age, that none of this would have happened?
Yes.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I mean, if they knew that, you know, once you have something, your body knows how to fight it. So
it's absolutely
the best way to go, instead of putting poisons in your body. Yeah.
I did find it incredible during COVID that things that I had seemed to take for granted as knowledge suddenly seemed to be not there with other people. Other people just didn't have that knowledge. They didn't have the trust. Do you get a feeling a lot of this, and the reason why it was so easy to target young people is because they have more doubt about whether they're right or not?
Yeah, sure. I think you're dead on
with
that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And not to mention all of the celebrities telling them to do it and people that they look up to. That plays.
Which is why they did that. Yeah, I mean, that is part of the targeting.
Yeah.
You know, using John Legend and Pink and you know, Questlove. I mean, that's why they did that, was just to target young people.
Yeah.
It's a terrible affair. I mean, even they even pulled out O.J. Simpson for that. I mean, that says how desperate they were to push it out and even bring out the juice.
Yeah.
So she was she was a healthy young lady, wasn't she? She mm-hmm. didn't have anything like significantly wrong with her.
No, she actually had a full like blood workup and everything done at the doctor's visit where she got her first shot. And it came back completely clean. She had a little bit of a vitamin D deficiency, I think. So they just gave her some vitamins. But she was perfectly, perfectly healthy.
She was probably the most healthy of all of us.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
I'm fat and old. You know, she jogged.
Yeah.
We all are. We all are as we get older. I mean, you can't see down at the waist here, but I tell you, I put on a few pounds now. I'm in my 40s. Listen, we're going to take a very quick break here. But I just want to say again, like, you know, thanks for telling this story. And it's a really hard thing to tell, of course. I know I've had we had a death in my family that I talked to you about the other day, where my cousin died when she was 18, and they called it at the time sudden death syndrome. And I don't like that at all. It smells, it stinks. And I still feel like, you know, there was something that was hidden around back then as well. Take a quick break. Thank you so much for coming on. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
My baby's back from the West Coast.
Hear those pictures that you asked for your school project? First day of school, cute as a button.
So long ago.
Oh, here's Grandma Florence after that flood wiped out the whole neighborhood.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Those beans smell heavenly.
Give Mom a little credit.
You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year.
Oh, that's a great idea.
At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with the link.
Okay.
Smart.
I'm coming to share with you guys.
Protect your legacy. Plan for natural disasters today. Visit ready.gov/plan.
Need a ride? Yeah!
Driving with kids is a big responsibility.
Hop in and buckle up!
So don't sweat the small stuff.
You got paint all over our paper!
Get the big stuff right instead.
What does that mean?
Like making sure your kids are in the correct car seat and buckled up for safer travel.
That deserves a wiggly wiggly wig!
To make sure your child is in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Beep, beep. Yeah!
Johnny Vedmore on Today's News Talk, TNT.
Thank you very much for coming back with us here. I'm with Alan and Taylor Martin, and we're talking about their daughter, Trista. So eventually, Trista made a decision in secret to get the vaccine. Why do you think she felt she had to do this, even though we discussed a little bit of this? And was she just following the advice from the CDC, as far as you know?
I think it was just, you know, pure pressure from everywhere, from the media and listening to, you know, it's on Spotify. Every other commercial is about it. So I think she really felt it from that. And she was kind of nervous, I think, that she would be singled out in different things, like when she went to college and, you know, like going to the concerts and trying to travel. So I think that's a lot of it. And then, like, she didn't tell us because she didn't want to disappoint us, you know, by going against what we had told her to do. So
I'm looking across at the chat here as you're speaking as well, and seeing Wild Heather say the jab was Russian roulette. For some, it was nothing, but some were killed. There were so many variables factored into their administration, including storage temperature, administration protocol, shake the vial for a minute, vaccination procedures. I think it was planned to be so nefarious, she says. And I mean, you obviously must get a lot of people who support a lot of support from this. Lorianne is saying they're amazing. They've channeled their grief into saving other children. What did you say Trista wanted to do when she left college?
She wanted to work with kids. She wanted to be a child psychologist and a social worker. And she wanted to foster children. She volunteered at our church in the children's ministry. They all called her Miss Trista. The adults would fight over who got to have her in their classroom, because they knew it was going to be an easy day if Trista was in there. She just loved children. And that's why we, you know, we have to speak out to try and save other children, because she would just be furious with us, I think, if we didn't
Yeah, absolutely. She, if she knew that, I mean, Trista believed the lies and the propaganda, and she did make the choice to get this injection, but she didn't choose to die as a result of it. I know my daughter, and I know that if she knew that it was going to kill her, she would not have gotten it. If she was here with us today and she knew what was going to happen, if other children took this shot, she would absolutely demand that I fight this. Mm-hmm. And she would be here.
She would be the
talking
first one
to
fighting.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now, demanding that people stop doing this to children. That's what she would be doing. So that's what
we
are doing.
You answered my next question too. Can you tell us a little bit about Trista's bucket list that you found?
We
found it underneath her bed after she passed. She had written it when she was 16, and she had been checking things off the whole time. It's all
how well you can see it, but it is
all rainbow colors and things crossed out, and a lot of the things on there were not for herself. Even one of the first ones on there is she couldn't wait to turn 18 so that she could donate blood, and then all the things about wanting to be a foster parent, wanting to be a mom, which is just gets me every time. I mean, something she was looking forward to and something she wanted to do.
She sounds like she was built for that.
She had a
lot of things on her list that were for other people, like she just mentioned. But just knowing who Trista was, one of my favorites, she had a lot of stuff on here that was typical, I think. Like ride the world's biggest roller coaster. She wanted to do that. She wanted to go to see the Grand Canyon. She wanted to go to a music festival, but she was an 18-year-old, you know, little girl. And my favorite is number 60. That is not crossed off. She never did it.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. But number 60, go to a nude beach, nude. Yeah. I want you to see that she gave the word nude nipples. She spelled it with O's and she gave it nipples.
This is the light and the fun that was just taken.
She was a beautiful, beautiful girl.
Yeah. So how can you make people understand how this has affected you and your family?
I don't think we can.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't want people to. We don't want people to feel this. That's why we have to talk out. Oh, sorry.
Take your time, please.
Dr. Brian Linsky, I was speaking with him, and he, an amazing man. And he said the thing that I think I hold one of the most true things that I've learned, and it's how to respond when somebody asks me, you know, or tells me,
yeah,
you know, hey, imagine. Yeah, I can't imagine what you're going through. A lot of people will tell us that. We hear that a lot. And he helped me clarify it, because it basically the statement basically, I don't want you to imagine. I don't even want you to imagine what I'm going through.
That's why we have to fight so that other people don't have to imagine. They don't have to, and it doesn't have to become their reality.
Right.
Like, it is ours.
I don't have the answers to a lot of the questions that people ask. Like, how is this happening? How are they getting away with it? How is it continuing to happen?
It's just evil.
And I don't, greed and evil is at the root of it all. I can tell you that. Is it a depopulation agenda? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. But what I do know is that these people have lied and committed fraud, and they have murdered potentially millions of people, injured millions, tens of millions of people, and they keep on lying, and they keep on paying people. And if you go back to like the 1950s and the 1960s with big tobacco paying doctors to tell us that smoking didn't cause lung cancer and that smoking was actually good for pregnant women, and that we are reliving that exact thing, only worse. And it's got to stop. We have to have our politicians and our leaders and our elected officials, everybody that has to speak up, everybody's got to come together and make this stop. Don't wait for it to be at your doorstep. Don't wait for it to be your daughter. Yeah. Learn from this and let it be just mine. Don't let this happen to your family. Be loud and shout it everywhere to everyone. Don't be worried that they're going to call you a conspiracy theorist, or they're going to call you names, or they're going to call you an anti-vaxxer, or they're going to call you anti-science. They're going to call you names because that's what they do.
And do your own research. Don't just listen to what they spout all over the place, because there's an agenda there and there's a reason why they're saying those things. So do your own research.
These companies have made trillions of dollars, and they have no end in sight.
And they're not held accountable for anything. So there's.
That's part of my reporting, is trying to understand where it's come from, who these people are. But most of all, when I am reporting on these things, I like in the Welcome 5 article, where I'm looking through some of the people who were so closely linked with all of this agenda for decades, I constantly ask, who are these people? How are they not able to see what they're doing? How are they not able to feel that? And I come to the same conclusion that it's got to be evil. That it's got to be something that's you're either born with or you're not born with. You know, I feel that there's a lot of people who are born to be this way and not to be able to even contemplate, even think about anybody else apart from what they want or what they want to achieve and the splendor they want their career to look like in medicine. And these days, modern medicine is a practice which is just, it's full of evil.
It is.
I just want to mention again in the chat, Wild Heather saying, I am reaching out to these amazing people and wonderful parents to give them the biggest hug. You are courageous and strong and share your story, sending you all the love in the world. I know that nearly all the people I know will say that. Johnny Dollar says it's heartbreaking. I'm so blessed and lucky that stopped my daughter from getting that shot at school. Only a handful didn't, you know. It's a real, it's such a sad story, a terrible loss of life of someone with so much life ahead, says Parabolic Rob. I mean, you must get a lot of people, especially who were considered anti-vaxxers or conspiracy theorists. You must get, that's the most of the intention, I suppose, you're getting at the moment. We'll get on to that. Have you met up with other families who've experienced similar loss during the vaccines? And what advice do you have for people who want to find help and support as well?
We've met some really amazing people that are, friends, or really family almost now, through our shared grief.
The recommendation is, if you're looking for support right now, we can't talk about this on any social media platform except for Twitter. We can try to talk about it, or X, excuse me, whatever. We can try to talk about it on Facebook, and it may last for a day or two, but then it gets taken down. You can't really talk about it even on TikTok or anywhere else. So Twitter is kind of our safe haven at the moment. So
there's a large community.
There's a large community on Twitter.
There's also React19. Mm-hmm. They are a great organization. Real Not Rare is another great organization. On our website, we have links to all of that.
And we're all on Twitter. One of my best friends is Dan Hartman. He lost his son Sean. He's
out of Canada.
Yeah, his son was 17 years old and he got the shot to continue to play hockey. And his mom found him on the floor next to his bed, dead 33 days after having the shot. There's Shanna Carroll, her daughter Auburn, 17 years old, beautiful girl. There's Caitlin Goetze out of Australia. Ernesto Ramirez in Houston, Texas. Yeah. I mean, there's tons.
It's so sad that we can sit here and list all of this too. That there even is. I mean, there's so many that we can't even remember.
Yeah.
All off the top of our head, it is, that is a travesty.
One specific case, thankfully her daughter has survived, but it's a very eye-opening case that just shows how much fraud is involved in what Pfizer has done specifically. Is the case of Maddie DeGarry. Her mother, Stephanie, put her into the trials for 12 to 15-year-olds.
Thinking she was going to protect her kid before anyone else's kid was protected, because that's what they were telling her.
Well, now Maddie is confined to a wheelchair, and she has to eat through a tube. When Maddie's injury occurred after her second Pfizer injection when she was 12 years old, Pfizer said, this is not because of the shot. This has got to be something else, some kind of undiagnosed condition. And they kicked her from the trial.
And didn't list any of the things that happened to her.
Only stomach, an upset stomach. So if you look up Maddie DeGarry in the trials for Pfizer, you'll see that the only adverse reaction that Maddie DeGarry had was an upset stomach.
And now her daughter is forever, changed, and Pfizer has paid
nothing. None
of their medical bills.
Not a dime.
Even though that's how they got them into it. They said they would take care of everything, and they just dropped them and never spoken to them again.
It's truly evil stuff. When you're talking about targeting someone who just wanted to play hockey, they don't only target the ones you love, they target the things that they love too. Exactly. And they make it impossible for people to continue living their lives. Have you found that the mainstream media, while trying to tell this story, have they been as keen to tell Trista's story as they were to push Fauci and Bill Gates to their audience?
Not even close.
No.
We finally, after it was over a year after, finally one of our local stations did do a story, but it was just a short-lived. They did a good job.
They did a story. Our local station, Fox 23, and her name was Shay Rossi. She's a wonderful lady.
Yeah.
That's actually, you can read about it at justiceforTrista.com. Mm-hmm. She told us that she was trying to be fair. So she kind of did both sides. Mm-hmm. And so after her interview with us at the end of the segment, she interviewed a doctor named Dr. Dale Bratzler, who is one of the lead pencil pushers here at the Oklahoma University of Oklahoma. A little bit of research on him shows that he's received tons of money from Pfizer, specifically payments. So none of his conflict of interests were disclosed. The money that he brings in for the hospital from Pfizer was not disclosed. So I tried to, ask Miss Rossi, I said, how do you consider this fair when it's us against a multi-billion-dollar corporation that's paying doctors to basically lie and spread propaganda? That doesn't seem fair to me at all. So, but there's information about Dr. Bratzler on our website too, where you can learn and read more about his biases.
Awesome. And I advise everybody to go to justiceforTrista.com and learn more. Thank you so much for coming on today and telling us your story. We've come to the end now. Listen, and I'll say as well, I'm happy to offer you my services. If you find anything that I can do to help you, just contact me and I will be there to help as well. Thanks for coming
on,
Gary.
Thank you so much for having us.
Appreciate it. Thanks to everyone for tuning in to another week of amazing guests on the Johnny Vedmore Show. Some of the stories this week have been heart-wrenching, so I thank you for sticking with us and listening to some of the most important voices who are ignored by the mainstream. I'm predicting a really nice sunny weekend to come, at least in Britain. So enjoy yourself. Return to me, my friends, on Monday for another Johnny Vedmore Show. Until then, stay safe. Stay with us for the next week.